to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. Don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. He'll soon be here, he'll roll back the stone, and he'll call out your name. When he's 4 days late and all hope is gone, Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. And isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Yes, God is great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time, he's still on time.
Amen. That's right, isn't it? We probably ought to have that sung about every week, because I forget about week to week that even though God's not working on my timetable, he's working on his timetable. God always operates in the fullness of his own time, amen, and the providential working of God. Sometimes God puts us, what I refer to all the time in my life and everyone else's life, is the school of waiting, amen, and there's nothing like spending some time in the school of waiting. I call it school of waiting because in waiting is usually where we learn the most about him. And so we're thankful for the song tonight, thankful that we have a God who, even when he seems late by our standards, is always on time. All God's got to do is show up. He doesn't need any time. He doesn't need a head start. He doesn't need a running start. He just shows up, and his will is done. Amen. We're thankful for that. We just need to trust him. Again, appreciate all those who came out Friday night for Brother James Pittman's ordination service. Thought we had a great service. He did well. Again, appreciate all the ladies who brought dessert. You went way above and beyond the call of duty, and so we appreciate you doing that and all the work that went into that. If you're visiting with us tonight, Brother Pittman and his family were trained in our church and has surrendered to preach and has surrendered to go to the mission field. They're leaving for Chile the 2nd of February, almost here. So not this Sunday, but next Sunday will be their last Sunday with us. And then they'll be getting on the plane and heading to the other side of the equator, down to Chile. And so we are going to miss them, but we're looking forward to seeing them doing what God's called them to do. God's blessed and helped them raise their support. And so since we ordained him Friday night, I thought we ought to preach him. And so we're going to put him right to work. And this will, as far as I know, will be the last time he'll be preaching here at Calvary before they leave. So this will kind of be his farewell to the troops message as well. I just thought it was appropriate that we have him do that. So Brother Pittman, why don't you come and preach? Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll be kicking off a new series and our theme for the year. So be in prayer for that if you would. So Brother, why don't you come ahead?
Thank you. Well, good evening. Just want to tell everyone thank you for everything that you've done for us and my family. Thank you for Friday night. It was. I thought it was a little bit intense there for a little while, but the Lord bless and Lord help me, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been preaching tonight. I think it would have turned south and we'd have had a memorial service, like preacher said. So, but on Saturday was the 23rd of January, and I don't know if you all know that historic date, but it would have been 10 years that ago that I moved here to Knob Noster. I took a job at the hospital there in Sedalia, and that's the job I had the whole time I was here, other than working here at the church, and the Lord blessed that, and it's been... I'm 40 years old now, and literally, I'm not just saying this, it really is the best last 10 years of my life. It's been the best 10 years of my life. I grew up, You don't even need to know how I grew up. It was not the greatest upbringing in the entire world. I wasn't the greatest person. I was talking to my sister. She was here this morning, and we were talking about our family and my mom and everything. And I said, yeah, I tell you one thing. If I had been her, I would not be here today. Some archaeologist would have dug me up in that holler in Perry County, Missouri, at a future date. But the Lord's good, and He knows what we need. You know, since we've been here, there's been one thing that I've tried to keep my focus, and I've kept tried to keep the Lord. I prayed that the Lord would help me to do, and it was to never hurt this church and to never be a hindrance to this church. I prayed for that vehemently. I was like, I don't want to do anything that would hurt or negate His work here at this church. And I hope that, I feel that He's helped us with that many times. And there, you know, there's been several verses. This is just all for free. If this is my farewell here, then you know the next time I preach will probably have to be in Spanish or with an interpreter. So, but if you remember this, this is just introduction or whatever you want to call it. But Romans 11 verse 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And you know, I figured once we moved up here that that was God's will. And God provided for that. And I figured unless He changed that, that we were going to stay. And you want to know something? It says here the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I mean, we didn't go anywhere, and he ended up saving my soul here, you know, almost 8 years ago. And also another thing that kept me here and kept me in line for the best. For the most part, it's a good thing preacher doesn't tell a whole lot of stories. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And I kept that in the fourth part of my heart and in my mind that I was going to obey. And sometimes I had to make tough decisions to obey. But the thing is, yeah, God blesses that, and God did bless that. God did bless that, and you know we have been so blessed being here. All the members of my family that are saved have been saved here, and that's a big thing. We got two younger ones that are not of the age yet, and we're praying for their salvation too. And a lot of things have happened here, just put it like that. And just want to thank you all for that. Thank you for allowing us to serve here at this church. You didn't have to. You didn't have to let us teach the kids. You didn't have to let us teach the college career class. You didn't have to let us run the bus. But I appreciate the fact that you allowed us to do that, because that's what we needed. That's what we needed. So in thinking about all that and how God has used this church in my life and in the life of my family, tonight we're just going to talk about our membership here at Calvary. And if you'll stand with me, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll let you just stand just for a minute. How's that sound? I'll just read a couple verses to you. Look at verse number 7. It says this. Well, let's look at verse number 18. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." And in verse 27 it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." In verse number 7 it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And in using these three verses tonight, and looking at these three verses in this passage in context, just a simple thought tonight And I kind of put them all together and came up with this little thought. It pleased God to set me as a particular member of this body for its profit. Well, let's pray. Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. I thank you for every single person that's here. Father, I ask that you please just be with us. We have your word. Father, we need you to come meet with us and to use your word in our hearts tonight, Father, please. We want to feel your presence, and we want you to speak to us, Father, tonight, Father. We love you so much. We thank you so much, Father, for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for your word. Please use it tonight. Father, I ask that you please just use your servant. We love you, Father. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we live in a day today that a lot of things don't mean a whole lot to people. We're in a throwaway society. We're in things don't mean a whole lot. You know, when I turned 16, the day I turned 16, I went and I got my Missouri driver's license. And that's been a form of identification for me since then. And that was very important to me that I get that. And it was very important to my life that I have that. You know, for our, you know, things that we have passports that show that we're what? A citizen here of this country. We have a membership. I have a membership here in my wallet to Costco. That's a very important part of our life. When we were traveling, I had a member to the Good Sam Club. That's very important when you're pulling a travel trailer. Hey, you get 3 cents off per gallon at Pilot, you know, the Pilot and the Flying J gas stations, which is important to a missionary. But the thing is, we have memberships in all sorts of different things. When I was at the hospital, I was a member of the staff there at the hospital. When I was in school, I was a member of the student body when I was in high school. And all these things were very important to us. We are citizens of this country. Is that an important thing to you? I think that it is. But the thing is, that's not, you know, in Ephesians, if you turn there, it's the other way in my Bible, if you turn there, Ephesians, if I could find the verse, Lord brought it to my mind. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You know, there are many, many, many of our veterans and many of people before us that died so we could be a citizen of this country. And we should honor that. But there's only, you know, there's only one membership that we can have that Christ died for. And that's the membership in a local church. Do you understand? And take this the right way. Don't anybody shoot me. But that's more important. My membership here is more important than anything else. You know, my family's membership here. We serve here as a family. We serve here as a family. And you know, not only do we serve here, but we come here. And do you understand that we're edified here in this body? That's right. Through the preaching of God's word? That means to be instructed in righteousness and truth and all that. We're edified here. This place that Christ died that I could be a member of. You know, and I know just part of our society, we live in a throwaway society. We live in a society that people throw their marriages away. They throw their family relationships away. They throw all these different things away. And they throw their church memberships away also. We live in a day that people don't treat or care for their membership in this local body. And in many other local bodies, we believe in the local church. A church is an assembly of baptized believers coveted together to carry out their great commission. And as you heard Friday night, we reject any type or any teaching of some kind of universal church. It's all about the local body of Christ. And that's what this is. And Christ died that I could become a member here at this church. So I could be saved and become a member here. You know, that ought to be an important thing. And we all ought to have the same prayer of, Lord, please let me not do anything that would hinder your work here. Or let me not do anything that would hurt your body here. Would we have, when he was on the cross, have poked him with sticks? Would we have plucked out his beard? Would we have spit upon him, his body? Why would we do that here? For this body, his body. We should not do such things. And we see in our verses here, we have a very, very particular, a very, very a special thing. A precious thing. And you know, it pleased God. In verse 18, it says this. Think about this. It says in verse number 17, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. As it hath pleased him. Do you know, if you think about that, it made God happy. It made God happy. It was his will that I become a member of this church. And you too. You said that when you became a member. I'm sure Pastor talked to you. Are you sure that it's God's will for you to become a member of this church? He did me. I'm sure he questioned you all the same way. But do you understand that it made God happy for you to be a member of this church? It pleased him. And you understand we all came by the same requirements? Think about this. We all met the same requirements. We were believers that have been obedient to water baptism. That we had to have the proper baptism. We understand the four propers to baptism. We're not going to go over that again. I like it when somebody's not asking me and I have to answer. It's better to just be able to preach it, I guess. But we all came the same way. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. From the very oldest member, and I mean the person that has been the member of this church the longest, to the person that has been a member of this church for the shortest period of time, we're equal. We're the same. We all came the same way. You know, it's interesting. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 10. Look at this. Verse number 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. That's a good thing not to be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, these folks here, they all came the same way out of Egypt, did they not? You think about that. They all came the same way out of Egypt. They were all in bondage. They all came the same way. They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the Red Sea. They had no room for bragging. They had no room to say, well, I'm better than you. They didn't have one up on one another. They all came the same way. But it says that many of them God was not pleased with. That's a bad place to be in. It's a good place to be not ignorant. It's a bad place to be not in a place of not pleasing God. But we see here they came all the same way. It says they did eat all the same spiritual meat. You know, and today, if application to that today, it would be this. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. And if you look at that and you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." That kind of correlates the same way, doesn't it? You know, we understand that this is talking about water baptism, and we understand even further that this water baptism places us in a spiritual relationship. Your membership here is just not physical. I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if I feel good, I'll be here Saturday. No. It's a spiritual thing. Amen. Why? Because we all drink the same spiritual drink. We all eat the same spiritual meat. And that's what it says here. And it doesn't make... He's telling these folks here, he says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we're equal. We're equal. We all came the same way. We all came the same way. You know, verse 5 there says, God was not pleased with some of them back in Israel. Well, why was that? Well, because they started murmuring and doing all this stuff that showed their ignorance. Showed that they were not close with God. But you understand that, you know who has not only the authority, but... the responsibility to keep you right with God and in His fellowship, it's you. I can't do that. Preacher can't do that. Your Sunday school teacher can't do that. Your wife can't do that, husbands, and your husbands can't do that, wife. It's your responsibility. You know, we can never lose our relationship with Christ, but man, our fellowship can be strained, and that fellowship, and when we strain our fellowship with Christ, do we not think that that would strain our fellowship with the body of Christ? If we don't drink that spiritual drink, or if we don't eat that spiritual meat, we don't spend time in the Bible and in praying, if we get to thinking that I'm better than this person or whatever, that will strain our relationship here and with Him. It's my responsibility to keep myself right, keep my fellowship right with Him and in good order. It's my responsibility to do that. And you want to know something? It's not only my responsibility to do that, but it's kind of a fearful thing too. Because if I get myself out of fellowship with Christ, that's going to hinder my relationship with Christ. And this verse that we read here said, it pleased Him to put us here. If something pleases God, for Him to do something, and it pleases Him, who am I to undo that? Who am I to hinder that? Who am I to do anything that would hurt that relationship? That's a bad place to be in. That's a bad place to be in. That's a very dangerous place to be in. Who am I to undo that? If it pleases God to put someone else in this body, who am I to say something different? Who am I to say, well, that person? Who am I to say, well, they're just ignorant? Who am I to do anything against them? We're supposed to have love one for another. Charity. And it'll edify. We can help instruct each other with love. If it pleases God to put someone else in this body, who am I to do anything to discourage or to hinder that? That's also maybe even a greater place to be that's dangerous. Who am I to do anything against what pleases God? I mean, do you understand? I mean, it pleased Him. It pleases Him that we're members here. It pleased. I don't even know how to get that across. That, you know, when it doesn't, nothing equates to that. to thinking of the God that created all the heavens and the earth. Him. He spoke the worlds into... I mean, He did everything. I breathe because He allows me to breathe. He holds all these things together with His power and His might. And it pleased Him to make me a member here. It pleased Him. It pleased Him. If something pleases God, I should probably take care to help that. Verses 25 and 26, it says this. It says, For there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer and with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We should take care for not only my membership that pleases God, but my brother or sister's membership here that pleases God. And help them and encourage them and just be a blessing to them. Because it pleased God. Because it pleased God, I should care. I should care not only for mine, but for yours. It pleased God. And we look here also, it says in verse number 18, it says, But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. In verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Members in particular. Do you understand here, if we look here, you know, it pleased God to set me as a particular member. A particular member. If you look at this, to set means to put in place or to fix in any situation. You know, think about this, okay? This was in Webster's. This is not me. This is Webster. He must have been a pretty smart guy or something. But he put this in the definition. It pleased God to set me here, to fix me here, to place me here. You know what else God set? He set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the firmament. And that pleased Him good too. And He said, it is good. He also set His bow in the clouds after that He judged the world. God did this, and it should not be undone. He did it for a purpose. That means, you know, in particular is a distinct separate or a minute part. You know, He set me here as a member in particular. I have a function. I have a purpose. Because God did it on purpose. You know, it just wasn't an accident. We just didn't show up here one day. It was God's plan that I be a member here, and it pleased Him. And He set us a member here. In particular. And He did that on purpose. For a purpose. We have function here. A member in particular. Do I know what my function is here? That's one question that we have to ask ourselves. Do I know? Hey, why did God put me here? You know, we were doing a Bible study just across the street. I think it was in the second trailer over one time. And that was a real good... After the one of the folks got saved, took preacher over there, and we came out. I mean, we smelled like smoke bad. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was terrible. And that guy, he his name was Chuck, and he was in his late 60s, and he lived his whole life. And you know, he ended up getting saved. And at the end of our Bible studies, we go to Ephesians 2:10. And on this particular day, this is the day that Ephesians 2:10 became my life verse. I read this verse to him. It's the last verse we do in basic Bible truths. And it says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And he looks and he hits himself on the head like this. He was kind of an Italian guy. And he goes, That's why I'm here. He goes, I've wondered my entire life, what's this all about? Why am I here? What's life about? And he says, this says we're his workmanship. We're supposed to work for God. We're supposed to, you know, he says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He says, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, apparently he forgot about that because he never became faithful. But God used that in my life to make that my life verse. We're his workmanship. We're here for a reason. And you know, God put me here to function. God put me here for a reason. He put me here on purpose. And the question we need to ask ourselves, why? What is that? What is my purpose here? What is my function? You know, if you don't have a function here or don't know what your function is here, you need to pray about it. But do you want to know something that you ought to probably do? Is you probably ought to go ask the man sitting there in the fourth row, say, hey, preacher, what do you think? What do you think? Is there something that I could do? Is there some function that I could have? Is there something that I could do to be, you know, to walk in good works? The Bible says God's before ordained that I should, you know, I should walk in them. I want to do it. What's my function? Give me something to do. And you want to know something? We joke about it. He'll never turn you away. You don't have one. He'll never say that. He'll say, you don't want to know something? Most likely he'll probably be like, you know, let's pray about that. Or, you know, I'm glad you asked that. God's been laying something on my heart. It's pretty interesting how God uses his man in our lives. Because he set him here too. For a purpose, on purpose. And sometimes we feel like we're behind the woodshed, but that's okay. That's on purpose too. That's what I tell my boys at least. This is definitely for a reason. Do you know your purpose here? Do you know your function here? You should know it. And if yes, and if you do know it, if you do know your function here, let me ask you a question. Are you fulfilling it? Are you fulfilling your function here? You know, if it pleased God to set me as a particular member here, and that particular is a part of the whole and has function, if I know what that function is, and I'm not fulfilling it, do you think God is pleased with that? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If I said it was God's will for me to be here and for me to do this function, did God change? Did God say, well, I don't want you to do that anymore. Don't worry about that. I don't think he does that. I think that the gifts and calling to God, the gifts that he gave you to serve him with here, that he, the place that he set you in, I believe they are without repentance, as it says there. And I probably ought to figure out a way to use them and to fulfill my function here. I need to also remember, though, I am a part. I am a part. A distinct and separate, minute part of what? The whole. Of the whole. I need to keep in mind that it's not about me. It's not about accolades. It's not about, hey, look at this guy or anything like that. It's about Christ and his body and his body being able to do the work that the body's here for, to carry out the Great Commission. And we see here, we're here to edify the saints. We're here to instruct and raise up people so that we can live godly lives and have godly families. But our primary purpose is to get the gospel out. And how do we do that? Well, we do that better when we are equipped and we learn from God's word and we're taught God's word and we submit ourselves to God's word. And that's what we do here. We're edified here. We're instructed here. But we need to keep in mind that it's about Christ and his body. It's about his body. All the members working well together to get the gospel out. It's not about me getting a pat on the back. Hey, you ever run a bus ministry and go out for the bus ministry, you'll understand it's not about pats on the back or people telling you, hey, good job, or anything like that, because most likely nobody knows anything about it other than you. And that's just fine, because that's your particular part to do. And if nobody says, hey, good job, that's fine. God can say good job. And that's what I need to be worried about. You know, when we're downstairs, Sunday school teachers, when you're teaching those kids, most likely nobody knows what you're teaching. If you studied, hopefully the kids understand what you're teaching. But the thing is, we're not good doing it for that. We're doing it to equip them, to edify them, to help them, to fulfill. And, you know, in doing that, that helps us. It does. I'm telling you, being blessed with the opportunities that we've had to teach and stuff like that, we grew. We grew a lot in just doing that. Oh boy, I said that. I didn't really mean that. How do I fix that? Oh boy. Sometimes it was just kind of funny. Unless you got called in the office about something, then it wasn't so funny. Or you had some parent come up and slap you upside the head. Then you go home crying. Why am I here? For a reason. For a particular purpose. But the thing is, it's about His body. My part in the whole, it's about the whole. Hey, we have, you know, in today's society and working in different companies and different places where you have a bunch of employees, if people aren't working together and one of them's trying to, you know, get a head up or whatever, get a leg up on everybody else, that makes it hard. I've never been in the military, but I it's probably not like that at all in the military where people are trying to do things to get around things and to get ahead and, you know, step on you or anything like that. I'm sure it's really spiritual there. But in the secular world, let me tell you something. People are pretty ruthless. People don't care if they hurt your feelings. And we need to be thick-skinned, don't get me wrong. But you want to know something? It ought not be that way here. Not if I take the attitude that, you know, it pleased God to put Brother Tim here. Even though he aggravated me yesterday, it did please God, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Or whoever. I pick on you, you're sitting there, you get picked on a lot. But the thing is, it ought not be the way it is out in the world here. Think about this. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, let me tell you, that if any one of us be lifted up, who are we drawing men unto? And who are we drawing them away from? It's not about me. It's about my part in the whole. It's about my part in the body of Christ. You know, Paul goes over this, though. You know, it's a good thing to look at, you know, body of Christ, the hand, the eye, the ear. You know, what difference does it make what part I am? I'm part of the body of Christ. I mean, that's the main thing. And He needs to be the one lifted up. So, you know, and so we should be trying to funnel men to Him. Not to me. Not to build a following, not to any of that stuff. But for Him. I have a particular part here that it pleased God. It pleased God to put you in your function here. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know how you give gifts to folks? I mean, sometimes we just, you know, we go out on December 24th, go to Walmart, well, just grab this, this, and this. I mean, that's one way to do it. Yes, I've done that. But it's another thing to think, and you see something, oh man, my wife will love this. You know, 9 chances out of 10, she's not, because you're a guy and she's a woman and you don't like the same things. But you think in your mind, man, she will love this. Or she said, hinted around. I don't get hints very well. And during our marriage, I've had to tell her, don't hint, just tell me, write it out. Just tell me, because I'm not going to get a hint. That you have to tell me what's wrong. You have to, all that. I don't understand, trust me. And but if you see something that you know she wants, or you know that she'd be good at, or you know that would please her, that would, you know something that would fulfill her or be a blessing to her, and man, you save up and you get it. And you're just waiting to give it to her on her birthday or anniversary or Christmas or something. It pleased you to do that. And that's not even anything in comparison of how it pleased God to set us as members in particular here. But you want to know something? We're blessed when we're able to give somebody something like that. And we really think about it. But it blessed God. It pleased God to have a place, to have a place for me to serve. And that's here. I have a particular part here, and it pleased God to set me here. I need to fulfill it. I need to do why I'm here. What the reason He has me here, that should be my purpose. That should be what I'm going to do. And you want to know something? He uses so many different things to grow us and so many different things to get us to wherever else He wants us to go. And I can't emphasize enough how much of a blessing and how much we were blessed by just being able to teach the kids and do all these things and be able to lead some of the kids to the Lord and some of the bus parents to the Lord and all these things and God used that to grow us in Him, in His body. And He's got the same thing for each one of us, though, is what I'm trying to get at. We're equal. You know, we may have different functions here. It's just like God created man and woman equal, but they have different functions, are they not? I mean, do we believe that? We have the same thing here. We're equally all members of the whole. We just have different functions. And we need to fulfill those. He set us in particular to fulfill a need here in this church. You know, he says, Paul goes on, and you know, we ought not be jealous of what somebody else is doing either. You know, if the ear says, well, I'm not the eye, well, I'm not nothing then. Or what he says, you know, if the hand or the foot or whatever, we ought not worry. We ought to worry about what God has us to do and how we can help edify others into fulfilling their roles here. And then lastly here, if you look, in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. You know, I said in the beginning, you know, if you want a title or the saying, if you get one thought tonight, it pleased God to set me as a particular member of this body. Why? For its profit. For its profit. You know, you look at this verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Spirit of God gives us each what is needed to profit the body of Christ here. And to profit means to be of use. To be of use. Not just to bring money in, to be of use. To be of use here. It's not that kind of profit. This profit here is to be of use or an advantage, to bring good. God, Spirit does that. Gives us different gifts so that we might be of use, be of an advantage to bring good here to His body here. You know, God gives gifts for the advantage of His body, not for me to look tremendous, although, you know, sometimes I think I do. Not for me to look tremendous, but for His body to look tremendous. For Him to look tremendous. When people can look at us, not say, oh man, God's got such a good person there. No, they should say, that person has such a good God. Because we are nothing without Him. And without His Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We are nothing without that. If He didn't give us the gifts to use, guess what? We would not have anything. Like the parable of the talents. If the master had not given them talents, they would have had nothing to work with. And our master has given us talents to work with. But the thing is, not for me to look tremendous, but for him to look tremendous. My gifts are to be used with all. Then I looked that word up. It says with the rest, together with, likewise, or at the same time. That's pretty interesting. If you look that word up, with all. You know, I just thought with all, you know, hey. Probably means with. No, it means with the rest. My gifts are to be used with yours. You know, my gifts are to be used likewise. My gifts are to be used at the same time as yours. So we're all functioning together. You know, a body, you think about this, a body, if I'm trying to walk down there and this foot doesn't want to work with the other foot, or at the same time as the other foot in chorus or whatever you want to say, we're probably going to have a hard time. And I'm probably going to have to crawl down there. Well, what if their arms don't want to work together? We need to work together. We need to work with the rest. Together. And you want to know something? We're all a bunch of sinners. Every single one of us. And sometimes I may rub you the wrong way. Or, you know, and sometimes you may rub me the wrong way. But we're still supposed to work together. We're still supposed to work with all. We're still supposed to do these things. Well, why? Because it's not about us. You know, what he has given me will profit the body, will advantage it. It'll give us an advantage. And you want to know something? Brother French, what he's given you will give an advantage to this church. And every single one of us that are members here, what he has given you will give this church an advantage if we work together. Then we have to. What he's given us will bring good, to be of good use, to be of use here. To bring good to this body. But you want to know something? Sometimes, you know, as we spoke earlier, when our fellowship gets strained with Christ, our fellowship gets strained here. And we get to the point, hopefully not to the point, but we get to thinking, do I really care? Well, I should. Do you understand that there's some people that will not use their gifts at all here? Some people will not use their gifts at all here. Why is that? Why? Why wouldn't we want to advantage this body, be of use for this body, to profit this body? Why not? You know, and some of us, you know, some will only use some of their gifts and not all of them. Well, I'm not going to do that. Why? I'm being so serious. Why? Why would we not want to serve him here and be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to profit this place? Why would we not want to use our gifts in full here? The gifts he's given me should profit this body and advantage it, and they will, the gifts that he has given me. And you understand that sometimes those gifts are developed here in doing different things. Not sometimes, all the time. We have a gift, and it'll be refined here to be used. It'll make the body run that much more together and that much better. And you realize also that we all receive the gifts from the same place again. Well, I have the gift of this. You don't have this gift. You're not as good as me. No. They're all from the same place. It's not about me. And you want to know something? He can take those gifts away. he can make us to where we can't use them. He can make it to where we can't do the one thing that he wanted us to do, and punish us, And you'll be miserable when that happens. We receive gifts all from the same place. I don't have better gifts than you. You don't have better gifts than me. But what we do have, gifts that God has given each of us to use. And He put us here in particular to use them, to fulfill a function. So you think about all this together, we come back to our first statement. It pleased God to set me as a particular member of this body for its profit. Do you understand that? It pleased Him. I mean, it pleased God. It made Him happy. It pleased God. And He set us here. He put us here. He placed us here. He fixed us here as a particular part. Function, to have a function here in this body that makes up the whole, to be of good use and to advantage it for its profit. And when I finished this, I was thinking, what an honor. What an honor. What an honor. Do you believe that tonight? It pleased God to set you as a particular member of this body for its profit. Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's an honor? Because it is. How are you using, and how are you using what God, how are you using the reason that you're here, that God put you here? You're either fulfilling your part here. You're either, God's either in heaven right now saying, I'm pleased right here with this young woman. I'm pleased right here with this young man. I'm pleased right here with this man. I am pleased here with this deacon. I'm pleased here with this pastor. He's either saying that or he's saying I'm not. And I wish they would just get this. But we all have a part that it pleased Him to put us here for. It pleased God to set me as a particular member of this body for its profit. Are you fulfilling your part here? And if not, just get it right. I mean, the Christian life is so simple. I mean, you just get it right. Well, what about my pride? Well, who cares? You know, there's going to be no pride when we're at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be none of that. There's going to be, hey, I put you here for this reason, and I gave you these things to do this. You didn't profit. Why? There'll be no pride there. I'm very thankful that it's so easy to get right with the Lord, because if it was too difficult, I wouldn't be able to do it. But if you're not fulfilling your part here, or you don't think that it's an honor to be here, just get it right. Ask the Lord to forgive you and give you a second chance. Let's pray.